Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Well, everyone is talking this morning, obviously, about the shocker that President Obama has won the Nobel Peace Prize. Now, the easy reaction is that it's too early and the Nobel Committee is too starstruck. George Packer from The New Yorker even says the president should turn it down. We'll hear more about that coming up. And we'll hear the president's own first public statement on the prize, expected live at the White House later this hour. But maybe it's not so crazy. Here's about a minute of the announcement by the Nobel Committee in Oslo earlier this morning.
The Norwegian Nobel Committee has decided that the Nobel Peace Prize for 2009 is to be awarded to President Barack Obama for his extraordinary efforts to strengthen international diplomacy and cooperation between peoples. The committee has attached special importance to Obama's vision of and work for a world without nuclear weapons. Obama has, as president, created a new international climate. Multilateral diplomacy has regained central position, with emphasis on the role that the United Nations and other international institutions can play.
So that announcement around 5 o'clock this morning, New York time. In Oslo, we have a few guests lined up, and our phones are open, of course. All our media are open. Is the Nobel Peace Prize for Obama a good idea at this moment? 212-433-WNYC. Call us up, 212-433-9692. And we're taking comments in our Facebook and Twitter groups, but the phone number, 212-433-9692. You can also post directly to our website at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Is the Obama Nobel Peace Prize a good idea? The first post on our page, by the way. Can we do an Olympic 2016 revote anytime later today? So that's one way to start. With us now is Robert Scheer. He covers the president for The Washington Post. Hi, Robert. Thanks for coming on. Michael Scheer. When will we hear from the president?
Let's see. What time is it now? It's
about 8 after.
10, yeah, in about 20 minutes. He's scheduled to enter into the Rose Garden at 10:30 and give us his official reaction. We know, of course, that the White House says that when he was awoken around 6 o'clock this morning by Robert Gibbs, a phone call from his press secretary, that he, like the rest of the world, I think, was pretty startled.
I gather they did not see this coming.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I'd like to say, as somebody that follows the president pretty carefully, that I had any inkling, but, you know, it didn't even occur to me. I don't think it occurred to most people.
The Associated Press has a list of myths on its page today about the Nobel Prize, including the awards committee announces a short list of candidates. They don't do that. A campaign for a particular candidate can sway the awards committee. They say that's a myth.
Right.
Candidates can be nominated until the last minute. Anyone can nominate a person or a group for the Nobel Peace Prize. No, apparently they send out a number of letters to people who they invite, including past laureates and others. The prize can be revoked if a laureate does not live up to the standards of the Peace Prize. I guess they don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
The prize can be awarded posthumously, which they did actually do once, apparently in 1961, to former UN Secretary General Dag Hammarskjöld after he was killed in a plane crash in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe, Michael, that the year that Gandhi died, they did not award it at all, to not violate their rules against awarding it posthumously, but to kind of acknowledge Mahatma Gandhi in that year in the 1940s. And finally, it says, myth, the prize is awarded to recognize efforts for peace, human rights, and democracy only after they have proven successful. And I guess that's the relevant one for today, isn't it?
Right. Well, Well, I mean, what's really interesting is, you know, you go through the things that he has done in the 9 months in his presidency. I mean, one of the things you can't say about Obama is that he doesn't have high ambitions, right? He's gone around the world. He's talked in Cairo, in Prague, in Ghana. He's given a big UN speech, all, you know, sort of offering this remarkable vision for a world without nuclear weapons, for a world where, you know, Mideast peace has been solved, for a new kind of diplomacy that doesn't, you know, in cooperation among nations. None of that has happened yet. Nuclear weapons still exist, as we all know, not only in the big countries, but you know, there's problems in North Korea and Iran in terms of whether or not they're pursuing their own nuclear weapons. You know, if you look at Mideast peace, I mean, there you can argue about whether or not we've made some progress in the last few months, but it's certainly nowhere near resolved. Cooperation in the world is still, you know, shaky at best in some places, and so you have to look at this decision by the Nobel Committee as one that's essentially more hopeful than looking backwards and saying that, you know, we're gonna essentially bet that Barack Obama will be able to make progress on these goals, because clearly, you know, he hasn't yet.
On our Facebook group, Jason Lydon writes, "The world hated Bush and Cheney so much they gave the president a Nobel Peace Prize for not being them." And I think Eileen in Hoboken might want to say something like that, too. Hi, Eileen.
Hi there. I just wanted to say, when you listen to the announcement from Oslo, they talk about extraordinary steps, and I don't know what those extraordinary steps are.
Well, let's go back to the announcement. It says, and I have the full text of it here, we played as much of the audio as we could get, the committee has attached special importance to Obama's vision of and work for a world without nuclear weapons. That's one thing. For his extraordinary efforts to strengthen international diplomacy and cooperation between peoples. They say he has already created a new climate in international politics, that multilateral diplomacy has regained a central position, and with an emphasis on the role that the United Nations and other international institutions can play. Eileen, do you poo-poo all that?
I don't poo-poo it, but I don't know. It just seems a little premature.
And that's an opinion shared by a lot of people. Are you hearing it yet in Washington? Are you getting a Republican backlash yet? Michael Scheer from The Washington Post.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, I think, you know, part of what I think people are reacting to, maybe, and your caller just had, is also the word extraordinary, right? I mean, you know, some people would say, look, you know, you can say what you will, you can agree or disagree, but has, is what Barack Obama has done, for example, going to Prague and calling for a world without nuclear weapons, is it extraordinary? Now, I'm not saying whether it is or it's not, but that's one of the questions. You know, the Republican National Committee Chairman, Mr. Steele, issued a statement just a couple of moments ago. He said, quote, "The real question Americans are asking is, what has President Obama actually accomplished? It is unfortunate that the president's star power has outshined tireless advocates who have made real achievements working towards peace and human rights. One thing is certain, President Obama won't be receiving any awards from Americans for job creation, fiscal responsibility, or backing up rhetoric with concrete action." So you can see they, you know, immediately sort of turning back to the domestic agenda.
And in a few minutes, we'll bring in George Packer, a New Yorker writer, pretty much a supporter of the president, I think, who actually posted on the New Yorker site today a suggestion that the president give back the Nobel Peace Prize, or turn it down, really, in order to avoid this Republican backlash, among other things. So we'll talk to George Packer in a few minutes, but we're also going to add to this discussion right now a leader of a Nobel Peace Prize-winning organization. Alex Counts is president of the Grameen Bank, which won a few years ago for its program of microloans in developing countries. So he is a co-winner with the better-known Muhammad Yunus. And Alex Counts, thanks so much for coming on WNYC today. Good morning.
Well, it's my pleasure. I just, as a note of correction, the prize 3 years ago, announced 3 years ago today, was for the Grameen Bank of Bangladesh and its founder, Muhammad Yunus. And I lead a U.S.-based sister organization that is trying to kind of propagate the Grameen success in Bangladesh on a global scale, but I certainly wouldn't consider myself a co-recipient, but just someone who was deeply involved in the success that they recognized in Bangladesh.
Fair enough. Are you shocked by this?
I'm actually not. I had the privilege of going in 3 years ago to Oslo and observing the whole process and how the Norwegians went about this. And I think they like to frankly surprise people and prompt them to think new thoughts about this concept of peace in the broadest possible sense. 3 years ago, it was about the linkages between peace and poverty reduction by recognizing the Grameen Bank and Professor Yunus. Today, I think the achievement that Obama has already had is to, in becoming elected in these early things, is to show that through his efforts as a candidate in his first 9 months in office, that he could inspire millions of people to vigorously engage in politics from a place of idealism, things we haven't seen maybe since the late 60s. Also, inspire people internationally about what America is about and what we're capable of as a country. And in particular, people of color, whether they're in the U.S. or outside of the U.S., standing up taller and thinking again about what they can accomplish. So I think that's already a legacy of his that exists, and I think that that will play into and is already playing into a more peaceful world. So I think it was a visionary thing that is going to spark a lot of the kinds of conversations that the Nobel and thinking the Nobel Committee was hoping for.
And I think David in Clinton Hill is going to be happy along similar lines. David, you're on WNYC.
I think it's a terrific choice. I think that the Obama administration represents an attitudinal change in this country, but I think it also represents a hopeful change for the whole world. And, the fact that we have an American president that's willing to tackle issues such as climate change and the spread of nuclear weapons, I think is terrific. And I'm really hopeful with his selection.
David, thank you. Although Michael Shearer from The Washington Post covering the president, along those lines, we get this kind of sarcastic comment from Elaine on our Facebook page, who writes, "This opens the door to many more potential recipients for the Peace Prize. New criteria. 1, only good intentions required. 2, results of intentions irrelevant. 3, come into office after unpopular leader. But most important," she writes, "what great material for Saturday Night Live."
Oh, yeah, you can imagine there's going to be all sorts of ways that comedians can go after this. It's interesting, as I've been sort of thinking about this the last couple hours, I recall the Arizona State University, which pointedly declined to give Barack Obama an honorary degree when he came to speak to their graduating class because his, quote, body of work had not been long enough to merit the degree from that university. So it'll be all sorts of ways to sort of talk about this.
And Alex Counts from the Grameen Bank, I gather that after the Nobel Prize, you were awarded the Horace Mann High School Distinguished Alumni Award. So maybe the president can hope for such honors from his high school now.
I hope so. It's certainly the prize had a ripple effect, especially for a group like ours that wasn't as well known as the president, putting us on the map and all of us associated with it. I'm a New Yorker and grew up there and was honored by my high school kind of in the aftermath of the Nobel Prize. Also, a New York City-based microlending organization was working at the time, Project Enterprise, whose board chair has been doing microlending in 4 of the 5 boroughs, had a big growth of support. So for those who are more on the off of the center of the world stage, the Nobel Peace Prize can mean an awful lot.
So do you think then, Alex, that the president can use the Nobel Peace Prize to actually help foster his agenda in any concrete ways, or does it just become, an early garland?
Well, I think that if you think back to when he was inaugurated and that cold January day when many of us were out there, that sense of idealism and possibility in the country was very vibrant. And I think in this meat grinder of politics and accusations and the trying to take some strategic ground politically. We've lost that, and I think he's lost some momentum as a result. Perhaps it was inevitable. But I think hopefully this will bring us back to the historic nature of his candidacy and also his unique talents of his energy, his raw intellect, his ability to work across party lines. And hopefully at this moment where so much legislation and decisions are pending, we can recover some of that feeling of back on Inauguration Day.
Alex Count, CEO of the Grameen Foundation. I know you have to get back to a meeting. Thank you very much for taking a few minutes for us this morning.
It was my pleasure.
And we're also going to bring in now New Yorker writer George Packer, who has posted a piece on their site titled Beware Premature Prizes. Hi, George. Welcome back to WNYC.
Nice to be with you, Brian.
And in all seriousness, are you suggesting that the president turned down this prize?
Yeah, I actually think that that would be a very shrewd gesture on his part. I think he has undertaken things that may well yield, the results that deserve a prize in a couple of years on nonproliferation, on global warming, on Iran, on the Arab-Israeli conflict. But nothing has happened yet. And Obama himself is shrewd and smart and sort of objective about himself enough to know that. And I think it would show that he understands the difference between talk and action.
You also wrote about being concerned about a backlash. Do you think it could actually hamper the president's agenda, winning this prize, rather than help it?
I don't think it's going to have much of an effect either way, to be honest. I just heard the very end of the last guest's thoughts about how this might help him. But, the Nobel Peace Prizes haven't helped others very much in their causes. It didn't do much for Jimmy Carter's attempts to resolve the Arab-Israeli conflict. The Kenyan environmentalist hasn't, turned around the deforestation of Africa. I'm afraid it will contribute to a critique of Obama at home that exists mainly on the right, but that could also take hold among the public at large, which is that that it's hype and that the speeches are all you get. I don't believe that about Obama, but that idea is out there, and a Nobel Peace Prize 9 months into his first term seems to me like something that could further that idea.
So there seems to be this split between how Americans might perceive this and how people around the world might perceive it. And in fact, we have a caller, a Canadian caller from Germany, listening in and calling in from Germany right now. Ken, thank you so much for calling us. Hello from New York. Where in Germany are you?
Hey, just north of Frankfurt, Brian.
Glad you're listening. What's the reaction like over there?
Well, I'm just going to echo the ideas that Europeans have a decidedly different view of Obama, and they're not mired in the microcosm of Washington and all the stupidness and silliness of what goes on in the Congress. And as a result, they see the man for what he appears to be to most people in the world, a gifted communicator with a sincere desire to make a difference in his generation, especially in contrast to what's gone on in the last 8 years.
Ken, thank you very much. But Michael Shear, Washington Post White House reporter, this is just what the Obama people must be afraid of, his politics people, an image that, only Europe sees Obama for Obama and Americans don't.
Right. Well, it's instructive, I think, to think back to the campaign a year ago when probably the highest point for John McCain in the polls and the sort of high point psychologically was when they started running ads in the aftermath of his trip to Europe as a candidate, when the McCain campaign started running ads that sort of loftily described him as the Messiah and the One and showed Moses parting the Red Sea. And, there was this conscious effort on the part of the McCain campaign to say, look, this guy's a celebrity, but what has he really done? What can he really accomplish? And, it was sort of downhill from there for the McCain campaign. But that was a moment that actually did resonate resonate with the American people, where the American people started scratching their heads and said, yeah, maybe we don't need a celebrity. Maybe we really need a president. And there is a danger here that, and who knows which way it'll go. I sort of agree with your last guest that said that, you know, it probably is a wash or no effect, but that, you know, there is a danger that, you know, that people end up seeing this as sort of an endorsement of that idea that he's all talk and no action.
You know, Michael, before you go, you were originally booked to come on this program even before the president won the Nobel Peace Prize this morning, and you were going to talk about one speech, I guess, he's going to give this weekend having to do with gay rights issues.
Right. He's giving a speech to the nation's largest gay and lesbian rights organization, civil rights organizations, human rights campaign.
Uh-huh.
And you know, one of the things that's striking about that is it sort of fits in this pattern in a sense, in that, you know, as a candidate, he promised the gay and lesbian community that the moon, essentially. He promised that he would act on all of these things that they have been struggling for over the years, getting rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, ending the Defense of Marriage Act, you know, extending rights and benefits to federal employees. He has done very little of that in 9 months as president. He sort of chipped away at little things and sort of made moves, so appointed a couple of you know, high level gay appointees to various positions. But there is a deep dissatisfaction in the gay community that he has sort of put their top issues on the back burner. And again, it's a you know, in that community, at least, there's a question of talk versus action, and what have you accomplished? And so, you know, that's a theme. It's a, you know, the defense from the White House is, look, we're juggling a million things. We're trying to right the economy. We're saving the auto industry. We're fighting two wars. So, you know, we're doing health care, obviously. So that's the defense. But there are those questions out there.
Or another way to put it, as Billy in our Facebook group writes, I get what they're saying, but giving Obama the Nobel Peace Prize after 9 months is kind of like awarding the Cy Young in late April. So later in the hour, we're going to do a separate segment and ask you listening out there, what would President Obama need to do to live up to the Nobel Committee's investment in him as the future of world peace and democracy, since that's what many of you are saying. Good idea, but he hasn't lived up to it yet, but he's going to accept this prize. Presumably he's not going to accept George Packer's recommendation to turn it down. We want you to post your answers to our webpage at WNYC.org or to our Brian Lehrer Facebook group, or send us a direct message on Twitter, and we'll take phone calls a little later on what would President Obama need to do to live up to the Nobel Committee's investment in him. And George Packer, I'll give you the last word in this segment for now. Maybe you want to take a shot at answering that.
I mean, I think if he substantially reduces nuclear weapons, strengthens the nonproliferation treaty, boxes Iran in so that it's incapable of developing a nuclear weapon, and makes some progress on the Arab-Israeli front, he would more than deserve it. And I actually wouldn't be surprised if in 2 or 3 years he's there. And that's why I'm urging him, slightly facetiously but not totally, to tell the committee to put it on hold, to lock it up in a cabinet somewhere, and then award it to him when he truly deserves it. And it would show that Obama holds himself to a higher standard than anyone else does.
All right. George Packer on the New Yorker site today suggesting that the president ask them to hold the Nobel Prize for him for a few years. Whoever that is can go answer the phone now, whether it's Michael Shear, White House correspondent for The Washington Post. Thank you very much. Or George Packer from the
New
Yorker.
Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. And we will come back later in the hour for a call in on what the president needs to do to really earn this in the future, in your opinion. But coming up next, a follow-up Friday segment on whether science has disproven any alleged link between autism in children and thimerosal in vaccines. Stay with us.